Try your best to keep your seat tonight. if you don't have to be running in and out, please. I know this church don't have a problem with that, but I feel like it's very important for tonight's service that all the young people pay direct attention to what's being said. In the book of Jude, if you'd like to turn with us. Jude is the book right before Revelation. It's just one chapter long. I'm not an eloquent preacher. I'm not very deep, knowledgeable, as far as really bringing out things like a lot of our ministers do. But if there's a message that needs to get across, it's what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. The book of Jude, verse number 22 and 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to give my voice? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that you'd help me. God is being a messenger of the gospel. Lord, to deliver what you placed on my heart. Touch the lives and the souls of men and women. Young men and women, God, that are on the verge of going one way or the other. I want you, God, to help me to reach their lives. I want you, Lord, to help me to dig around them. Lord, help me to paint their life's portrait, past, present, and future, before their eyes tonight. And help me do as the Apostle Jude said, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Amen. Some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear. I'm going to try my best to get right into the Word. And get right down. I don't like to play around behind the pulpit. Outside the doors, I'll cut up with anybody. But behind the pulpit, I feel like it's most important, especially tonight. I feel the Lord in this. Did I do that? All right. I don't expect you to be shouting all over the building. I don't expect to run away. I don't hardly expect an amen. But what I do expect, and I hope that you care enough to be so considerate, is to pay extreme close attention and be very quiet so your neighbor beside you can hear. And saints of God, it would be all right for you to pray, because this is your boy. This is your girl. This is your brother. This is your sister. I feel this. I want to get all this out of the way so I can preach. Some have compassion, making a difference. I tell you, when compassion and the gentle wooing of the Spirit of God, when it seems like that it just is not reaching into that heart, when the preacher seems like his words are bouncing off of the wall, and your heart goes on cold and untouched, without feeling, then it's time for the fear of God. Not a scary fear, but a reverenced fear. To begin to go forth. And brother, if the reverenced fear of God's Word and an awesome God does not touch your heart, then friend, I doubt if you can be touched at all. Don't go so far that God can't touch you. I've been with Brother Wade Kessner for the last couple of days or so. But not one time have I been with him that somebody else has not been there. Ain't it right? And they've not told me a thing. If they'd tried, I'd just told them to hush. But I want to talk to these young people. I've had a burden for these young people here since the last time I was here a couple of months ago. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Now, who's he talking to? Who is he talking to save them? And to pull men out of the fire. He's talking to the preachers. I know that. Yeah, sure. He's talking to the ones up front all the time. Sure, I know that too. But he's talking to mamas and daddies. He's talking to Sunday school teachers and Sunday school superintendents. He's talking to bus drivers and bus captains. And he's talking to whosoever. Amen. Listen, in the book of Genesis 19, the Bible tells us about a man that his uncle had left his country, his home country, to go and search for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I believe it's in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis where Abraham gets his call how to leave his home country and to go to a country that the Lord said that he would shoot him of. Amen. And as he went, the book of Hebrews tell us, amen, that by faith he sojourned in a land that, amen, he sojourned in a strange land. And I can just imagine as Abraham begins to load his belongings in his wagons and on his camels. And amen. And I can imagine as he begins to set all of his goods upon the wagons and starts his journey outward. Maybe a neighbor comes by and says, Abraham, where are you going, son? Amen. Are you going on vacation, Abraham? Where are you loading up to go? And Abraham says, I'm going to a far country. I'm seeking a city. Amen. Where's it located? Amen. And he says, I don't know. But I'm going by faith. Glory to tonight. Amen. You know the world tonight. Amen. They're sad and they're looking. Amen. At us and they're wondering where do they think they're going. I tell you tonight, I believe and I know for a fact that I'm on my way to that city. That far country. Amen. Called heaven. On heaven's bright shore. But listen. Amen. On this journey he took his nephew Lot. Amen. And as far as I know, amen, Lot did not build altars. Lot did not worship God. Lot did not serve the Lord. He went with his uncle. He watched Uncle Abraham build altars. He sat there and he observed, amen, his Uncle Abraham as he began to go into the worshiping of his God, amen. But here we can find, amen, in the Genesis 19, that he parted, amen, had to part company with Abraham, amen, and as he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and as he pitched his tent toward the wicked cities of Sodom, amen, and Gomorrah, brother, we can find just a few verses over, amen, that he's dwelled in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's sitting in the gate with the elders. Amen. And everybody knows about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Those wicked cities. Amen. Sounds about like Hazard, Kentucky to me. Sounds about like, amen, Saltwolf, Virginia to me. Wickedness, amen. Sounds about like Buckeye Holler. Oh, my Lord. Amen. Somebody says, oh, well, Buckeye's not a bad place. Amen. Well, I tell you tonight, amen, glory to God. Somebody says, Saltwell, Virginia is not a wicked place. And I think I'll just settle in there. Oh, glory to God. I don't know much about Saul. I don't know much about Buckeye. But brother, I tell you today, if it's anything like Grapevine, Kentucky, if it's anything like Hazard, Kentucky, amen, brother, they sin on the outside the door. They sin running up and down the roads. They sin in every nook and cranny. Oh, my God. Amen. But listen. Lot goes in there. And he finds himself not only pitched toward it, but he finds himself in the heart. In the heart of sodomy. Homosexuality was not... really, I don't believe may have been the main thing, but it's not. It didn't start with homosexuality. Put it that way. The sins of Sodom did not start with homosexuality. You're looking at me now. The book of Ezekiel. Amen. Let me. Ezekiel 16 and 49 and 50 tells us, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. You got that? Anybody seen pride? Anybody? Any pride today? Fullness of bread and abundance of working. An abundance of laboring. An abundance of busy little beavers. What did he say it was? An abundance of idleness. Got so much time on their hands that they can't even raise a garden. Got so much time on their hands They don't train their children to labor. Am I telling it right? Got so much time on your hands that you can't even mow the grass. Now listen, I don't want to meddle, but I'm just going to give you a clue into how it was in the Sodom and Gomorrah. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, all for one and one for all. Just me and my four and no more. And they were haughty and committed abomination, boys. I tell you, I come up the road, I come up in the holler up to Brother Wade's this evening as we got back, and I seen some abomination. Amen. And the Bible said, they're haughty and committed abomination before me. This is God, and He said, therefore, I took them away. Did He ever mention in these verses anything about homosexuality? I didn't hear Him mention it not one time. I've read this time and time and time again. What caused it? Boys, idle minds. They say it's the devil's workshop. Idleness of hands. Idleness of time. I never have preached on this. Glory! You know why we got so many lazy youngins? You know why we got so many lazy people? It is an abundance of idleness. You know why they know more about John Wayne and the rest of the cowboys? More than they knew about anything else is because that's all they have time to do. Abundance of it. Help me, Lord. I know I'm a preaching right. He said, therefore I took them away as I saw good. Now listen. Now before He consent the judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, a man that was raised by a God-fearing uncle, journeyed with him and watched him. Young people, listen to me tonight. I want you to quit passing notes. I want you to quit just staring at your neighbor. I want you to look at me dead in the eye. And I want to show you something tonight. Amen. You can come to church. You can sit and watch Mama sing. You can sit and listen to Daddy preach. You can sit and listen to the saints of God shout. You can listen to the testimonies. And you watch them as they raise their hands. And the power of Almighty God begins to come upon a service. You can come and sing in the choir. Amen. You can take part. But boys, if your heart's not in it, I said if your heart is not in it, oh God. Well, preacher, what are you going to preach on? I'm going to preach on pulling them out of the fire. I'm going to preach about pulling you out of the fire. You go around, lay around. Got so much time on your hands, school's out. Get on the motorcycles and touch one. Hit the trails. Break out the fishing poles and hit the riverbank. Roll out the sleeping bag. Let's go camping. Oh, I'm not preaching against these things. But that's what Jesus is doing. if you're a normal teenager boy. Or let's go have a pajama party with the girls. Amen. But I feel like the young people, they're facing so much opposition tonight. And I don't blame totally on the young people, because now Saltville and Buckeye Hollow Church ain't the only church that's got young people. Everywhere I go, I see young people. And they just twiddle their thumbs. Seem like they're just... You sit in a service and you're not in the service. You come into church, but you're not really at church. Your mind's saying, man, I wish he'd hush so I can get back home. I'd rather be down the road with my buddies. I wonder what my buddies is doing now. Ooh, glory to God. And Lot was that kind of boy. Lot got married, and he raised a family. And he raised his boys to be that kind of boy. He raised his daughters to be just like Miss Lot. Praise God. And there in Sodom, he raised his family. In Sodom, his daughters got married. In Sodom, his sons got married. Amen. In Sodom, his sons and daughters was raising their children, if they had any children. Now, help me preach. But Sodom was a wicked place. And Lot knew about God. Daddy Lot knew about God. And the Bible tells us that God sent messengers down to Sodom. They're going to look the place over. Why was God concerned about a wicked place? I tell you why. He wasn't in his intent to destroy it. If it was, he would have destroyed it long before. What was his purpose in coming down to look it over? He wasn't looking for somebody, amen, that was different than the crowd. He looked for somebody that said, I don't think I'll run with the crowd. He was looking for somebody that said in their heart, I believe I'll take a stand. Amen, I'd not go the way of the world. Oh yeah, even in wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible said he went to Abraham. And Abraham prayed and got down in sackcloth. And ashes and said, I take upon myself to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. And he knelt down and he began to seek God. Amen. Seek his will about it. And he told the messengers, he said, if they be 50, would you spare it? Sure, if they're 50, I'll spare it. What about 30? Sure, if they's 30, I'll spare it. Lord, what about 20? If they's 20, I'll spare the city. See, God didn't want to destroy it. God wanted to save it. Listen, young people. You think because the preacher gets up and begins to preach, amen, and begins to say things that you ought not be doing and giving you a list of things, and the Sunday school teacher tries their best to give you guidelines to help you, amen, and you sit there and you say, well, they're picking on me. When mom and daddy says, no, you can't go. No, you can't do this. Well, and your heart begins to break, and then you think, well, mama, do you love me? You're picking on me, mom. Daddy, you just... Daddy, you're unfair. Amen. I'm preaching to young people because I'm a young man. I'm a lot younger than what I look, I guess. I'm 27. And me, that's young. Amen. And God's messengers goes down into the city. And the place is so wicked that they won't accept them. And they come out and they say, send those men out to us that we may know them. And the Bible said, Lot said, I've got two virgin daughters. I'll send them out to you and you do what you will with them. And they said, no. Send us the men. And when they was going to come on to Lot, and they was going to mistreat Lot, and the men drew him into the house, and they shut the door, and they locked it. Amen. And they told Lot, they said, hast thou here any besides sons and daughters and son-in-laws? Amen. He said, you go warn them how to flee. Amen. From this place. Listen to what he said. Amen. The Bible said, amen, that Lot went down and he began to witness to his son-in-laws. And he began to tell them. And they said, he seemeth as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. Amen. They heard him say, amen, talk about Uncle Abraham's God. Amen. They heard him talk about, amen, how that his Uncle Abraham sought God and God blessed him. And how that God moved and answered Abraham's prayers. Amen. Oh, and he said, the very same God hath sent messengers and warned me this day, amen, that this place will be destroyed. Amen. That we've got to flee to the mountain. And Brother Jim, I can imagine his life must not have measured up to his words. You know, there's a lot of teenagers in hell tonight because their parents' lives didn't measure up to their words. It had turned an ear away from the truth. When your children hear you talk about the preacher, when you hear your children see you do one be one thing at church and another at home, you know what it's doing? It's turning their ear away from the gospel message. I blame not the young people. I blame not the young people totally. Some of it's their blame, some of it, for the condition they're in. But boys, I'm going to go in your living rooms. I'm going to come down into our dining rooms. I'm going to come down to supper. I didn't agree with what Brother Tapio said last night. I think Brother Tapio was just telling us something. I think Brother Tapio is just, he just wants to make a show. And there's Junior, he's sitting there, and he said, Brother Tapio making a show. Brother Tapio ain't serious. Brother Tapio is just there, and he's just rattling his brain, and he don't know what he's talking about. This ain't a sin, and that ain't a sin. Amen. Am I telling you the truth? How many of us parents, I'm talking about myself, I've done it, have sat in front of our children and we've talked where we ought not been talking? Man. You ain't sanctified if you talk against your neighbor in front of your children or at all. We ain't sanctified if we do that. Our tongue ain't under subjection when we do that. Whew. Glory. Glory to God. My daddy said, "Boy, you're meddling now." I said, "Daddy, I can't preach unless I meddle."
Wow!
Listen what he said. Said he seemed as one that mocked. I was a church that I was attending and a member of. I was teaching teenagers. I was teaching teenagers. And we got to the second chapter of the book of Acts. And I got to talk about the Holy Ghost. And I was teaching deacons' children. I was teaching the pastor's children. I was teaching preachers' kids. And I said, "How many knows what the Holy Ghost is?" And I had a good class. I had about 17 in the class. And I said, "How many knows what the Holy Ghost is?" Nobody raised their hand. Nobody knew. I said, "How many has the baptism in the Holy Ghost?" Out of 17 in a holiness church, been raising holiness all their life, been praying in the altars for years, but they had never got established enough to really even dig after the Holy Ghost. And I hope you like me after this is over. I've got to deliver my soul. Hallelujah. I feel, brother, that, and statistics, I'd heard about it even before I thought about it, and statistics that 10, maybe 12 years ago, that 50% of the Pentecostal people did not have the baptism. That's 10 or 12 years ago. I wonder what it is today. And I said, "You mean tell me you don't know what the Holy Ghost is?" I said, "Deans want the Holy Ghost." And Lord God, I said, "Don't you know?" "No." I looked at the pastor's kids, and I said, "You don't want the Holy Ghost?" "I don't think I want it, if it makes me act like my mama does." "What do you mean by rolling, shouting, and jumping?" "No," he said, "no, not that." He said, "My mama's got the smartest mouth on her." He said, "My poor daddy can't get a moment's peace around the house." He said, "Mama, come around here," he said, "I'll tell you the truth, I believe my mama's the biggest hypocrite in this church." That was teenagers talking about mom and dad. Amen. Seemeth is one that mocked. Seemeth as one that mocked. Actions speak louder than words. Live your religion every day. Not just on Sunday morning. Whoa! Holy Ghost, thank God, I feel the Lord. Amen. And he said, "Get up out of this place." And they said, "No. Go on, Lot. Buddy, you're foolish, Lot. You're talking out of your head." And they said, "Well." He went home, and early that next morning, they angels kicked him on the side and said, "Up, Lot, get up, gotta go." And he said, I can just picture him looking at mama and said, as mama looks around and looks out the window, as she looks out the door, "Can you give us just a few more days? One more day, Lord, just one more day. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus." Amen. Lot comes over and pats her on the back and says, "Honey, we got to go. Can't you wait just a few minutes on my babies? They ain't made it. Honey, don't look like they're coming. Honey, don't look like they're coming. The Bible says that while he lingered, amen, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters. This was two virgin daughters that he had at home. The Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him in out the city. And verse number 24 said, and when the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Oh God, listen, I'm talking about pulling men out of the fire. Listen to what Mark chapter 9 and verse 43 through verse 49 says. Amen. Jesus said, if thy right hand, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and to go into hell, into a fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm doth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into all into life, amen, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into a fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm doth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire where their worm. It didn't say where the worm, it said where their worm, boys. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire. Now every sacrifice that was offered to God in the Old Testament, according to Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 13, was offered with salt as a symbol of preservation or preserving it. And here in this scripture, salt is mentioned in a reference to the idea that every everlasting fire is not only inconsumable, but it will have the property of making whatever is in it inconsumable like itself. In other words, it's forever and it'll not burn up. It's preserved. Sinners will be salted with the fires of hell, preserving their souls for the punishments of hell's fire. Now I'm going to preach on pulling them out of the fire. All right, listen to me. Hallelujah. Whoa! The book of Revelations. Here in Mark, let me state this. This was seven verses. And in seven times of seven verses, the Lord has warned us about hell's fire. Revelation chapter 20